Our first reading this morning will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from the first chapter of Isaiah. We'll read verse 1, then we'll skip over to verse 10 and read through verse 20. And it is found on page 617 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and of the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls, or of lambs, or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our second reading will come from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from Luke 12, verses 32 through 40. It is found on page 951 of your Pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. For if he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of the Lord. I realize we read some extra verses there, but that's good. Let us pray. Dear God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. O God, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus tells his disciples, which includes you and me, that we have to be alert, be ready for the coming of the Son of Man. But readiness is not about gazing into the sky, waiting for the final trumpet to blow, as the Apostle Paul tells us, but readiness and alertness is a way of life. It's a way of living our lives right now in anticipation of the coming of the kingdom, the coming of the reign of God. And that's why Jesus says again and again, and says particularly in our reading this morning, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid, little flock, because God wants to give us the kingdom. That's God's promise to you and to me. You and I will inherit the earth. The kingdom belongs to us. God's coming future belongs to us. The reign of God has been promised to us. Jesus says that God wants to give us the kingdom. But we have to be ready for it. And being ready means that we have to have our hearts right. And that's what Jesus wants to know in our gospel reading this morning. He wants to know where your heart is at. Is your heart set on the things of God, the things that are above, the things of the kingdom, or is your heart set on the things of this world? What are you banking on? What do you believe is important? Where is your heart at? Jesus says that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And I confess that I've not always been very careful in reading that passage. I've always assumed that what Jesus was saying was that where your heart is, your money and resources will follow. Your treasure, in other words, follows your heart. And I hear people say all the time, even in the church, if we can just get people's hearts right, then they'll give a little more. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying just the opposite. Jesus is saying that your heart follows your treasure. Where you put your treasure is where your heart is going to follow. So if you want your heart to be in a particular place, get your wallet right. Start putting your treasure where you want your heart to be. That's what Jesus is saying. Your heart will follow your wallet. Jesus had a lot, of course, to say about our possessions. In fact, Jesus has more to say about what we do with our money and our possessions than he has to say about almost any other subject. You would never guess that, of course, in our age of millionaire preachers who can jump on their private jets and go anywhere they want to go, but that's what Jesus does. He says more about money and our possessions than almost any other subject. And indeed, he says this because Jesus knows that the biggest competitor to our loyalty and devotion to the kingdom of God is our loyalty and devotion to our stuff, our money and our possessions. They are what we give our hearts over to. They are also the source of a great deal of our anxiety and worry. There's a strong connection between our fears and our incessant need to accumulate more and more stuff. And it's because we are anxious about our lives and anxious about our futures and anxious about our worth and our standing that we feel we have to go out and accumulate more and more stuff. Advertisers know that, of course, and so they play to our basic fears and insecurities in order to sell us more stuff. Everything from bread mints to new cars to financial services that promise us peace of mind. But Jesus says over and over again, and especially here in chapter 12, don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about your life, about what you are going to eat. Don't worry about what you are going to wear. Don't worry about stuff, because God wants to give us the kingdom. Instead, store your treasure in heaven, where no thieves will break in and take it, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now perhaps you're saying to yourself, okay, that sounds good. Heaven sounds like a good investment. It sounds like a winner. But how do we go about doing that? How do we go about storing our treasure in heaven so that our hearts will follow? And remember, in the Bible, the heart is not just about our emotions and our feelings, but the heart is the seat of our actions and our wills. So how do we invest in the kingdom of heaven right now so that our actions and our wills will be governed by heaven? And that's an easy one to answer, because Jesus says that instead of accumulating stuff, get rid of it. Sell your possessions, he says, and give alms to the needy. Live simply so that others can simply live. Get rid of your anxieties and your fears and your worries about stuff and turn towards meeting the needs of your neighbor, especially the poor and vulnerable neighbor. And when you do that, Jesus says, you will be storing up treasure in heaven. It's that simple. Only it's not that simple. Because to be honest, what Jesus says here is deeply disturbing and startling to many of us. What in the world is Jesus talking about? We say, sell our possessions and give them to the needy? What can Jesus be talking about? Doesn't Jesus understand that we need our possessions? We equate our possessions with life itself. The more we have, the better we live. Not just our material possessions, but our immaterial possessions as well. Our sense of self-worth, our dignity, our personal accomplishments. We prize our possessions dearly. We're like the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and wants to know how he can inherit eternal life. And Jesus says, have you followed the Ten Commandments? And he says, I've done that. And then Jesus says, sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you'll be on easy street. And the rich young man turns away because he has many possessions. And many of us do too. We have many possessions as well. I indicated last week that we are blessed to live in a nation where we are blessed to have so much. And many of us have many possessions. And so when we hear Jesus say things like, give your possessions away and give alms to the poor, it disturbs us because we think that Jesus is trying to take our lives away from us. But Jesus didn't come to take our lives from us. Jesus came to give us life, abundant life. Jesus came because it's God's pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so he tells us, do not be afraid. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Store your treasures in heaven, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where do you want your heart to be this morning? The life of faith is often characterized in the Bible as a journey from one way of life to another, a journey from slavery to freedom. In the Old Testament, the Israelites move from slavery to the place where God will show them and take them to a kingdom where God will be their God. And Jesus says in our text this morning that we too have to be prepared to move from those places that enslave us, from the things that hold us captive and lead us away from the abundant life that God wants to give us. And so he says, do not be afraid, because God wants to give you the kingdom. I used to think that when Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, that what he was talking about was a spiritual kingdom up there somewhere that we go to after we die. And please don't get me wrong, when we die, we go to be with the Lord. When we die, we go to be with God. Our lives are vouchsafed with God. But when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's not talking about a kingdom out there that we go to when we die. And he's not talking about a kingdom out there that is purely a spiritual kingdom. When Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's talking about the rule of God. He's talking about the reign of God that is coming. He's talking about God's rule that is coming here, to this place, to this world. He's talking about a time when things will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. It is a kingdom where things are done totally different from the way that things are done now. It's a kingdom where the first will be last and the last will be first. It's a kingdom that's not about getting and consuming, but about loving and sharing. It's a kingdom where people look not to be served, but where they look to serve. Indeed, Jesus says in our text this morning that when the Son of Man comes, he will put on an apron, and those who he finds waiting for him and alert that he will serve. Jesus, the Son of Man, Jesus, the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the King of Kings, when he comes back, Jesus will come to serve. And that's what he wants us to begin to live into right now. Jesus is saying that the kingdom is coming, so get ready for it. Get prepared for it. Start investing in it now. Put your whole heart into it, because God wants to give us the kingdom. The kingdom belongs to you and me, so start getting ready for it right now. Start preparing for it right now. I wanted to end this morning on kind of a practical note. I'm sometimes told that I need to be a little bit more practical and include some steps or list of things that we can do. So I wanted to be a little practical this morning instead of talking about the coming kingdom and the kingdom of God. And the problem with all that is, of course, is that there's very little that Jesus has to say that would be considered practical. Jesus didn't come to help us to be practical. He didn't come to help us to situate our lives a little better within the current scheme of things. Jesus came to turn our world upside down. And he came to turn our world inside out. He came to help us to see a whole new vision and a whole new reality of what God is doing in the world, and to orient our hearts towards that reality. From our perspective, there's nothing very practical about the call to rid ourselves of our possessions. Just like there's nothing very practical about the call to deny ourselves and pick up our cross. But Jesus says that's the way that leads to real life. But I want to be a little practical this morning and embark upon some steps that you and I can take as we anticipate the kingdom. First of all, I'd recommend that we take it slow. When I read this text earlier this week, especially the part about getting rid of our possessions, I thought to myself, Lord, I can't get up there and tell those folks that. Not that one, not about our possessions. Last week we talked about the rich fool and about him needing to be rich towards the things of God, but I can't get up and talk about that this morning. People don't want to hear that. That's not a very popular message, not in our country, not when we have so much, not when advertisers advertise to us 24/7 about going out and accumulating things. I can't say that. Can I? Maybe they'll let me get away with it, but the Lord said, yeah, that's what the word is there for. The word is there to talk about and to read, whether it's a popular message or not, or whether it's an easy message or not. And so I would recommend that we not all go out and try to divest ourselves of our possessions right away, but I would recommend that we perhaps just take a look around and inventory some of the things that we have and ask ourselves, do we really need all the things that we have? Some of us have more than we need or even more than what we can use. Maybe we can get rid of some of that stuff and maybe it can be used to bless others. And so I would ask us to just to kind of look around and ask ourselves, out of all the stuff that we have, do we need it all? Are we being good stewards of the resources that God has given us? And we might do the same thing when it comes to making a purchase. Whenever we go to make a purchase, we might ask ourselves, do I really need this? Is this really a good use of the money and the resources that God has given me? Will this purchase further the kingdom of God? Or is it something that I want just to enhance my ego? A lot of the things we really don't need, we just purchase it in order to enhance our ego. I know that's some of the purchases that I buy. I was sitting at a meeting not long ago, and everybody around the table was there at the meeting. And, you know, when you're in a meeting, you want to be important, and you want to fit in with everyone else. And all of a sudden, I noticed that people had these telephones, these iPhones, these fancy iPhones. All of them had it on the table. And I just had my little phone. It wasn't an iPhone. And I said, you know, I want one of those. I want an iPhone. Not because it's better than the phone that I have, because I just want one to look cool like everybody else when they had their iPhones out there on the table. And so I went and got another phone. It's not quite an iPhone, but it's respectable. People were looking, you know. I can put it on the table with everyone else's and be respected. And then I noticed the other day, I was sitting at a meeting, everyone started to pull out these iPads. And there I was, you know, I came and I had my briefcase and my papers out, and everyone's got these iPads and these little things, and they're looking busy, and I said, I want one of those. I want an iPad. Not because I really need it, but because I just wanted to fit in. I wanted to for people to think that I'm someone who knows what's going on with all the technological gadgets. And so I said, I want an iPad. But it didn't really need one. And so I'd ask that when we go out to make purchase, we ask ourselves, is this something that I really need? Do I really need this? Is this something that I really have to have? Or can I take the proceeds from this and use it to further the kingdom of God, use it to bless others, particularly those who do not have? Jesus said, if we just do those kinds of things, the more and more we do that, just the little kind of things, the more and more our hearts will be vouchsafed into the kingdom of God. Just one step at a time. How we spend our money and what we do with our money is probably one of the clearest determiners about concerning our relationship with God. And so as we go out and make our purchases and inventory what we have, let us ask ourselves those questions. Do I really need this? Is it furthering the kingdom? Or is this just something that I have to have because I fear not being able to fit in? Or I fear not being someone who is in the know, technologically speaking, or because out of my deep-seated anxieties, I fear that if I don't have it, then I won't be someone who is respected. Jesus says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about stuff. Do not worry about possessions. But store your treasure in heaven. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be as well. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you. We thank you for the promise of the kingdom. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who comes to show us the way to that kingdom and to provide the way to that kingdom. We ask that you help us to anticipate that kingdom by living into it right now, by helping to free ourselves from our possessions and our captivity to our possessions and our stuff, and by helping us to turn our hearts towards our neighbors, especially those neighbors who are most in need. Help us to follow you and to serve you, not just by what we say, but most importantly by how we live our lives. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.